everyone. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Camardella. Before we get into our next old-time radio program for all you old-timers out there, from the WPNM Showcase of Hits, one of my favorite all-time performers, songwriter, arranger, musician, and vocalist, he does it all, and he does it well. Here is the fantastic Bobby Caldwell and a tune that yours truly loves so much, even now. On the Boxcars 7-Eleven Old Time Radio Pod, where the oldies are still young.
National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 51, Blackout, as written and directed by Harry W. Junkin. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Harry W. Junkin.
Good evening. Tonight we are very happy indeed to welcome Miss Jan Miner back to Radio City Playhouse after an absence of almost 10 weeks. To our regular listeners, she needs no introduction. To our new listeners, may we say that she is one of the busiest, most talented, most charming, and most sought-after actresses in New York. She is heard regularly over NBC in Laura Lawton, Road of Life, and The Eternal Light, to name only a few. Co-starring with Jan Miner tonight is Mr. Arnold Moss, who will shortly be seen in a featured role in the new Eagle Lion picture, Reign of Terror. Mr. Moss, too, is a veteran NBC actor, and in between many radio and television engagements, he is at the moment working on the part of Malvolio in Twelfth Night, which will open on Broadway this fall. Here, then, is Jan Miner as Jane and Arnold Moss as Johnny in Blackout, Attraction 51 on Radio City Playhouse.
Roger, this is Jane Beaumont.
Oh, honey, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. Are you out of your mind?
Roger, was Johnny with you last night?
Hmm? Oh, yes, for a while. Why?
Because he isn't home yet, and I'm worried. I thought maybe...
Now, look, Jane, it was sort of a celebration, you know. Murdoch being made editor and everything, I really...
Roger, he didn't take a drink, did he?
Yes, honey, I'm afraid he tied one on.
Roger, he promised. He knows what happens when he drinks. He promised me. Roger, haven't you any idea where he might be?
Oh, Jane, go back to bed and relax. Johnny will be all right.
Roger, hello? Hello?
Jane Beaumont's face is drawn and worried. She looks out the window, sees nothing, and returns to the center of the room, where she stands uncertainly. At this exact moment, a man turns off Lexington Avenue onto 71st Street. For most people, a new day is just beginning, but for Johnny Beaumont, an evening has just ended. His expensive suit is wet and torn, one sleeve of his overcoat is missing entirely, his nose has been bleeding, and the blood is caked on his shirt front. His face is very dirty, and he's lost his hat. Oh, Johnny doesn't care about any of this because Johnny is a pathological drinker, a dipsomaniac in the most literal sense of the word. Nobody seems to mind this except his wife because Johnny's charming. He loves people and everybody. And when he's drunk, he thinks everybody loves him. It never occurs to him that anyone would be revulsed by his appearance or his smell. He throws his arm around the doorman, and the doorman doesn't protest. He's used to Johnny. He's a little nauseated by Johnny's closeness, but he's very kind as he helps him into the elevator. The doorman understands that Johnny is just Johnny.
Gluggly. There's an angel on my knee.
Hey, take it easy, Mr. Beaumont.
The elevator's mad at me.
Oh, no, the elevator loves you. It told me so yesterday.
It did? Well, then I'll kiss it. Good old elevator. Hey, where am I?
You're almost in your apartment.
Yeah, I know, but what city?
Here you are, Mr. Berman. Just take it easy.
Thanks. Oh, golly, was I in a fight. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Oh, you're a good fellow, Patterson. And was I in a fight? I took Frank Murdoch, you know him?
No, I don't, Mr. Berman. Watch your... That's it.
Jump up and down on his face until I kicked all his brains out. Brains. He hasn't got any brains. I tell you, I killed him. I absolutely murdered him. That'll teach
you. Here you are, Mr. Berman. Just hang on to the wall, Mr. Berman.
Good old wall.
Say, maybe Mrs. Berman isn't up. Should I unlock the door?
Who is it?
Well, who's that? It's Patterson, Mrs. Berman. I got Mr. Berman.
Just a minute.
Who is that? That's your wife.
Oh, gee whiz, Christmas again.
Gee, Mr. Berman, you sure know how to do it.
Madame, you have just won the Nobel Prize.
Good morning, Mrs. Berman.
Thank you, Patterson. I'll get him in.
You're sure you can manage, Mrs. Berman?
Yes, Patterson, I can manage, thank you. Come on in, Johnny.
I don't think I should.
He sure feels fine, Mrs. Berman.
That's all, Patterson. Come on, honey.
Say please.
Please?
So long, Patterson. So long, old kid.
If you need me, Mrs. Berman, just ring the buzzer. I'll come right up.
Thank you, Patterson.
Give me a kiss, Jane.
Stop this nonsense and come in.
Sure.
This is quite a joint.
Oh, stop it. You're not that drunk.
How do you know?
Because you're trying to be funny. Next, you'll ask me what city this is and expect me to laugh.
All right, what?
Well, I don't think you are funny. I think you're disgusting. Go into the bedroom and take off those clothes.
Thank you very much.
Will you stop playing the fool?
Well, you're mad. You're mad. Come on, Jane. Give me a kiss.
I'm not mad. I'm nauseated.
You want me to beat you up?
If I snap my fingers, you'd fall over. Now, will you please get undressed and get to bed?
I beat up Frank Murdoch. Oh, boy, oh, boy. As I beat him up, I murdered him. I absolutely murdered him, this dirty, cheap stinker. I jumped up and down on his face until I kicked his...
Will you please go to bed?
Yeah, sure, sure, honey, sure. Bed.
I had to get Patterson back up to get him into the bedroom. Then we took off his shirt and his shoes and covered him with a blanket. Patterson thought it was amusing. He thinks Johnny's a sport, but he's very gay and charming. When Patterson left, I wiped the blood off Johnny's face with a wet wash rag. He was asleep instantly, and I sat there beside him most of the morning. What do you do with men like Johnny? He has a funny little black curl that falls over his forehead. And his good looks and charm. Well, anyway, it was almost 5 in the afternoon when he woke up. He showered, shaved, drank 6 glasses of water, 4 glasses of orange juice, and 3 cups of coffee. Then he sent me out for the papers. When I came back, I could smell bourbon again. He'd had to have a drink to steady himself. He sat there reading the paper. And I sat there, looking at him.
You reading the papers?
No.
Don't sit there looking so holy.
Sorry?
So I promised I wouldn't, and I did. I got drunk, and I'm an alcoholic. Let's drop it.
I didn't say anything.
No, but you'd like to.
Not anymore. There's just no use talking about it anymore.
Well, why don't you quit?
I'm just about ready to.
Always preach.
I wished I'd had a camera this morning. You were a grand-looking thing when Patterson brought you upstairs. Muck, filth, street dirt. Yet you've fallen in it. Within your hair. That gray overcoat you've worn it once, and now there's a sleeve missing.
So I'll buy another coat.
You want to buy another wife?
Why, do you want to leave?
Well, there are all sorts of women you can hire to wash your face and clean you up after you've had a good roll in the Bowery muck.
Go away.
Johnny, there's no use talking about it anymore. We just can't go on this way. Heaven knows I love you. I do. But I just can't stand it anymore. The way you were this morning, I can't stand it.
Jane, please. Oh, crying won't do any good.
I know. I've been crying for 6 years.
Then why don't you stop?
Dresses, cars, this apartment. Maybe if we were poor, it'd be better. Maybe if you had to work for a living instead of dabbling in an arty magazine, writing stuff that nobody
reads. Oh, will you lay off? Whining, whining, always whining.
All right. What about dinner?
Well, what about it?
Well, do you want to eat in or go out somewhere?
I don't think I could stand a domestic evening.
Will I put on my feathers or just go straight as a simple little wife of a cafe drunk?
If you're so determined to be unpleasant, you can go to the devil.
What's it like?
What?
Going to the devil. You ought to know.
Oh, you shut up. Here, read the paper.
Would you mind handing me the whole thing?
Oh, reach for it. You're not a cripple.
Thank you. My hero.
Hey, look, Jane, I'm sorry I was rude. Let's drop it.
Hmm?
Did you get tickets for Liberty?
Yes.
For when?
September the 8th, the Thursday.
That's good. Jane, I am sorry. Really, really, I am.
It's all right.
I feel a little tough. I just sort of lost my temper. What is it?
Murdoch. Frank Murdoch.
Or what?
He was murdered last night.
What do you say?
It's here in the paper.
You're kidding.
No, here, read it. There, at the top.
Eugene Franklin Murdoch, prominent in New York literary circles, was found in an unconscious condition in an alley on East 52nd Street early this morning. He died shortly after admission to Midtown Hospital of head injuries, which resulted in severe hemorrhages. The dead man had been celebrating his recent appointment as editor of True Arts magazine.
I couldn't have done it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But you said you jumped up and down on his face.
I did.
To me and to Patterson.
To Patterson?
He told me. When I went out to get the papers, he remarked that you'd had a pretty big evening, that you told him you'd beaten some fellow up.
What? Did I say it was murder?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Jane, I don't fight with people. I never get nasty.
When you fought with somebody last night, you were covered with blood and your nose had been bleeding.
That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Well, isn't it, Jane, isn't it?
I don't know.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Well, can't you remember anything?
Do you expect me to go down to the police and tell them I think I killed Frank Murdoch?
Can't you remember, Johnny? Can't you remember anything that happened?
No, not much. Not much toward the end. I know I met Larry Oathwaite. We joined Frank and Roger. Say, maybe Roger would know.
He didn't seem to know much when I spoke to him.
What, did you phone him?
I phoned him this morning. It was 7 o'clock. I thought maybe you'd been killed or something.
Oh, Jane.
Oh, what am I supposed to think when you don't come home until 7 in the morning? Am I just supposed to go to bed as if nothing was the matter?
For heaven's sake, don't start crying.
Well, that's all I do now, Johnny, is cry. I can't help it. It's all supposed to be so gay and charming. And phone Roger and see if he knows anything.
I can't just ask him if he thinks I killed Frank.
Well, make something up, but please phone him.
All right, give me the phone.
Do you know his number?
Yes.
Doesn't he answer?
Oh, wait a minute.
Hello.
Roger.
Oh, hello, Johnny. How do you feel?
Ask him if he's seen the paper.
Shh, keep quiet. I'm fine, Roger. How are you?
Well, it's a little early to tell. What time did you and Murdoch get home?
Were we the last?
Oh, you sure were. I left you some joy on 52nd Street. I bet Murdoch is dead.
Dead?
He sure had a load the last time I saw him.
Well,
anything wrong, Johnny?
Well, no. I just thought I'd call. So long, Roger.
What did he say?
He said that Murdoch and I wound up the party and that he left us in some joint on 52nd Street.
What? It said he was killed in an alley off 52nd.
Well, Jane, I couldn't have killed him. I never want to fight when I'm drunk. Never. I never hit anybody. Never.
You've hit me.
I have?
Yes, you have. Johnny. Don't you see what this sort of thing does to you? You don't remember anything. You behave like something out of a stock
car. Jane, do you think I killed him?
You said so. You said so twice, to Patterson and to me. I don't know. I don't know what to think.
I'm frightened.
Could you phone Mrs. Murdoch?
Well, why? What could I say?
Well, maybe she knows more than... Well, it just seems logical to phone her. You could ask for Frank. Maybe she knows something...
But I can't ask to speak to him when I know he's dead. I couldn't keep it out of my voice.
Well, then, what do we do?
All right, I'll phone her. No, I can't do it. I'll call Roger and tell him. I should have asked him to place the name of that place on 52nd Street.
You think you did it, don't you? I can tell from the look on your face. You think you killed him?
I couldn't.
We've got to find out.
We'll just sit tight and wait. No, we won't. We'll get out of town.
No.
Yes, we'll go somewhere. We'll go someplace where nobody can find us.
No.
Well, what do you want me to do? Sit around until the cops come and drag me out by the scruff of the neck? If I did do it, they'll find the sleeve for my overcoat, maybe, and...
You can't run away from
it. I can't wait for
it. Now, please. Don't get panicky, please. Let's think for a minute, and let's not do anything crazy. If you didn't have anything to do with it, running away will only make it look twice as bad. And if you did do it, they'll find you. You'll never be able to hide from them forever. Phone Roger and ask him right out. Now, go on. Go on. Phone him.
You ask him.
No.
Well, I can't.
Ask him right out if he knows anything about it.
Won't it sound funny?
Hello.
Roger, this is Johnny again. Jane and I are having a little discussion and... Well, what was the name of that place that Murdoch and I ended up in last night, huh?
Don't you remember?
Well, you know how it is, Roger.
No, I don't.
Well, what do you mean?
I've seen the paper.
You have?
Yes.
Well, what was the name of the place?
Silver Moon Bar.
On 52nd Street?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Roger, were Frank and I getting along all right? I mean, did we fight or anything? If you've seen the paper, you know what I mean.
No, I'm just trying to make up my mind. I've come to the conclusion that if anybody asked me, I'd have to say you weren't getting along all right. Goodbye, Johnny.
No, Roger, listen. He hung up.
What did he say?
He said that if anybody asked him, he'd have to say that Murdoch and I weren't getting along very well.
Dear Lord.
We were in the Silver Moon Bar on 52nd Street.
Do you want to go down there?
Do you think we should?
I don't know.
Don't go.
But Johnny,
Don't go, I said. Let them ring. They'll think we're not in and go away. Shh. Listen.
Johnny. Please,
Keep quiet. Let them ring. But go away. Let them ring.
But we can't just pretend we're out every time the bell rings.
There, they've gone. I'm going to catch a plane for Canada.
No.
There's a plane for Montreal every hour.
You can't run out on
it. I'm not going to stay here and have a murder pinned on me that... Well, if I did do it, it was an accident.
I won't let you leave town.
Well, then what can I do?
Johnny, please. Please, let me go.
Listen. They're coming in.
Mrs. Fairmont.
Patterson.
Anything wrong?
What is it?
I have a parcel here from Macy's. It came this morning. I forgot to bring it up. I thought you weren't in when you didn't answer the bell.
Just leave it in the hall.
Okay, Mrs. Fairmont.
Johnny, you've got to face it.
Yes.
Every time the bell rings, we can't jump like this. We've got to find out. We've got to go down to that cafe and find out.
Yes. Oh, Jane, if you'll see me through this. I promise I'll never, never, ever take a drink again as long as I live, so help me God.
We knew then that even if Johnny had done it, he had to find out the truth. Patterson got the car out for us, and just as we pulled away from the front of the apartment, we saw a precinct car slide into the space we just left. We stopped for a red light at the corner of Fifth Avenue, and I looked back.
Can you see anything?
They're talking to Patterson.
Cops?
Well, one in uniform, the other not.
I'll go over to the East River Drive.
No, go downstairs. It's easier to get lost in heavy traffic.
Was he looking for me?
I don't know.
I couldn't have done it. I couldn't.
Now, be careful. Don't go too fast. What's the number on 52nd?
I don't know. We'll have to look for it. The Silver Moon Bar shouldn't be so hard to find. With a name like that, they probably got a neon sign 6 feet high. Well, now that we're here, I don't quite know what we're supposed to do.
I suppose we could order something.
You want a drink?
No. Go ahead, if you want to.
Would you mind?
No.
What? No. I'll have coffee. Jane, I'm finished. I'll never, ever take another. I'm finished. I quit.
No, you haven't.
Oh, yes, Jane. I promise I'm on the way.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
You see, this time I mean it.
Do you recognize any of the waiters?
Yeah, that little dark fellow. No, I'm not sure. I don't even recognize the place, let alone the waiters.
But you're sure you were here?
Well, Roger said we were.
But don't you remember it?
No.
Couldn't you ask one of the waiters if you...
Here he comes.
Hi, folks. What'll it be tonight?
What'll you have, dear?
I have a plain ham sandwich and coffee.
Yes, make it two, please.
Two plain ham sandwiches, two coffees, okay.
Oh, waiter.
Yeah? What is it, Mac?
Do you remember me being in here last night?
That's all right, Mac. You were plastered. No hard feelings.
No. What did I do?
You sucked that guy you were with.
Huh?
That's all right. I didn't like him neither. It's okay. Lots of guys get a little rough. Forget it, Mac. We're used to characters.
Johnny. I'm frightened.
It can't be true. It can't.
It all fits. Roger said you quarreled. This waiter says you socked him. You said you beat him up. You were covered with blood. Your nose was bleeding. I'm afraid, Johnny. I'm afraid that this time...
Jane.
What is it?
That waiter's phoning.
Huh?
Look behind you. The fellow that took our order is using the payphone in the corner.
Well, maybe it's a friend.
Now, watch out. Hmm? He's looking at us. He knows we're watching him. Let's get out of here.
No.
He's phoning the cops. I can tell he's being very casual.
But where are we going to go? We can't go home now. Where can we go?
You should have let me pack. You should have let me go to Canada.
We've no money, no clothes. Johnny, we've got to go down and face it. We've got to leave here and drive to a police station and face it.
No, I'm going. I'm getting up now and I'm walking right out of that door. Are you coming?
Leave some money on the table.
Are you coming?
What do you think? Go on driving all night, Johnny. It's nearly 11 o'clock.
Okay, I'm not going back. I didn't do it. They're not going to hang something on me that I didn't do.
But where are we going? We've no clothes, hardly any money. Now, where are we going?
Well, we'll get a hotel room somewhere. I don't know. Somewhere in a little town.
How long? Forever. They'll chase you forever. For as long as you live.
Well, then I'll run. I'll run for as long as I live, but I'm not... What's that?
The siren.
Can you see anything?
I...
Through the rear window, stupid. Look.
No, I can't. It's too dark.
That's his light.
No. Now, Johnny, stop. Please stop.
Won't.
No, stop, Johnny. Please stop.
He's not going to drag me off to jail for nothing.
Johnny, you can't. Don't you understand? You can't go on without facing him. No, I'll help you. I'll help you, but you've got to face it. Oh, please stop. Please.
No.
Johnny, look out. No. You'll kill us. Please, Johnny, slow down. Please.
Take your hand on that keychain.
No, Johnny, I'm going to turn off the ignition.
Get away.
If you want to drive into a tree or something, go ahead, but I'm going to turn it off, Johnny.
I'll go over the edge of the road. I'm telling you, I mean it.
Well, then go ahead. Go ahead. Kill us. Oh, my God. Johnny, don't be afraid. I'll help you. I love you, Johnny.
Trying to kill somebody?
No. No, I'm not.
Let me have your license. Come on, step on it. I haven't got all night.
Just a minute. Here you are.
Thanks. Got to take you in right now. Got any idea how many people are killed by guys like you who go crazy on highways? Here. And the speed limit's 45. Remember that.
Okay. Okay, officer.
Now what?
Home, I guess. What else is there?
Johnny, there's no use making promises you can't keep.
No, I won't. I tell you, I'm through with drinking. Never, never, ever again. I'm going to call the police and tell them. They won't get me for murder. At the most, it'll be manslaughter. Certainly, it wasn't premeditated. We'll get the best lawyer in town and fight. We'll fight like mad. And, Jane, if you'll stick with me, I swear I'll never take a drink again. Do you believe me, Jane? Do you?
You've said that so many times before.
Oh, no. Never like this. There's never been anything like this. Now, Jane, do you believe me?
Yes, Johnny. I think this time I do believe you.
No, leave the radio off.
I thought there might be some news.
Largely in deference to the views of Senator Arthur Vandenberg of Michigan, the principal Republican spokesman on foreign affairs. And now for the local news. Tonight, Don Edges, a truck driver, walked into the Central Park police station and confessed to the killing of Frank Murdoch, former editor of True Life magazine, whose body was found in an alley off 52nd Street early this morning. Edges stated that Murdoch was lying asleep or drunk in the alley and that his truck had passed over him before he could stop it.
Turn it
Edges
off.
Stated that he had not reported the accident because of his fear that...
Johnny, please don't. Please. Johnny. You promised.
Just heard Blackout, Attraction 51 on Radio City Playhouse. Jan Minor was Jane Bermond. Arnold Moss was her husband, Johnny. Other players included Louis Van Ruten, Eugene Francis, and Larry Blyden. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. The script was written, directed, and produced by Harry W. Junkin.
This is Harry Junkin again. Please join us this Thursday for our final show in the 8 by Request series, Elizabeth Scott in Machine. Next week on Radio City Playhouse, Joey Was Different, starring Louis Van Ruten and Edith Gresham, a stirring vignette on juvenile delinquency. That's next week, Attraction 52 on Radio City Playhouse. Good night, everybody.
This is Fred Collins speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.